Can you believe it? December the 1st, 2020, in the Lucy Goldman studio in Los Angeles, California, United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. We're going to hear some music tonight. Hopefully, I'm going to have some intelligent discussion to throw out there at you. I'm glad that many of you are still listening, because things have changed. Now, look, I'm going to have to go back because, I mean, I love today what's happening and everything. I'm trapped in my house just like you are. But I think that what we need to do is we need to take a trip, and we need to take a trip with these people way back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Listen. What's all this? Yeah. A long time ago. That's Mama Cass, the Mamas and the Papas, California Dreaming. That is what music sounded like when I was a young man growing up. It was always a lot of fun, a lot of instrumentation, and the dreaming was just beautiful, because when you stayed in California, I was talking with a friend of mine from Ohio tonight over the phone, Pastor James, and he says that California's just gone to the dogs. And I said, how? So what? Why? Why? Now, yeah, things are expensive out here. People want to live out here. What was it? 75 degrees today. Perfect weather. It's perfect weather this evening. We aren't experiencing cold, wet winters. This California dreaming is what people do. And when we worshiped, when we went to church, didn't we thank God for it? Man, I remember driving to church in my little Hondas or whatever I had, and having my family with me, and just experiencing the Californian lifestyles that a lot of people are beating up on. Hey, listen, what I want you to do is, I haven't attached the sermon to it yet, but a friend of mine said that he was speaking with some spiritual leaders in his church. And I'm telling you, we had to talk over the phone. And he's not talking about anybody. No, 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 I don't do that. I tell some of you people that are still stuck in that church mode, and whenever a question comes up, you're supposed to shoot that question to the man of God that's supposed to be teaching you the word of God. Anytime a student, you know what I had this thing when I was pastoring the church. I said, anytime you have a question about the Bible, about the Christian life, about what God's word might say on an issue, come to me. You have my confidence, and I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. I think this series of lectures was put out around November 2013. If you want to scroll down the page or go to the archive page, and there are a couple of lectures called Interpretations. As a matter of fact, I'd like to, I'm not going to give you a preview about anything. I want to see if I can, I think I can, while this thing is still recording. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read to you, as I do the webcast, how this thing was advertised. You go to the radio archives, and when you tap into the radio archives, you see this long list of things. Well, you see when you go down and it says November 30th, 2013, all right, and that talks about interpretation. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a preview. I've never done this on one of my webcasts like this, but now, thank God, through all this technology, I can do this stuff. I want you to check out the introduction, just a few moments, because I was telling this man to call me, and we spoke until after 1 o'clock in the morning. He's really hot and bothered because his spiritual leaders can't answer a simple question. A pastor called me from Ohio and tried to tell me that the young church member was wrong for asking the pastor those kinds of questions, and I said, no, he's not. So I want you to listen to this and tell me what you think. Just listen to this.
Thank you for joining me for this webcast on this November the 30th, 2013, Ram Radio, the webcast, which is the biblical alternative. Interpretation is a must. As we continue with the entire book of Romans, I thought that I'd give you a little bit on interpretation. You're listening to Itzhak Perlman on a violin and Kathleen Battle, supreme super soprano, singing from a great little album that I have, Kathleen Battle, Itzhak Perlman, the Bach album. John Nelson directing the Orchestra of St. Luke's. If you've never heard Miss Battle sing, she's an African-American, and she had, just listen to that beautiful soprano voice. I love good music from all corners. I hope that you do. I hope that you had a good holiday. At the time of this broadcast, this is a couple of days after Thanksgiving, and so I'm back in the office working. Thanks, folks, for accompanying me with the music. I really appreciate that. We're going to get into interpretation right now. I think that's very, very important. You know, there seems to be from time to time in Christendom a revival of interest in the methodology of interpreting the scriptures. And it, you know, sometimes it splits up groups of Christians, and at other times it brings us together. But this serious interest, and I think that it stems from a background of searching for what hermeneutics is all about, has helped to show why Christians differ from each other. Different principles and procedures yield different results, and even the same basic principles may be applied differently. And so, you know, we find some confusion sometimes. I'm reading from a book, one of the best in my library as I continue in Romans. It's a book by A. Berkeley Michelson, and it's a book of basic principles of understanding the scriptures. It's called Interpreting the Bible. As a matter of fact, I took it to the college I was going to give it to, a burgeoning student that thinks that he wants to preach. And I have so many books in my library on interpretation and things like that that were gifts to me. And so I can't see why I should hold on to them. So I'm giving them away to other people that think that they have found this profound interest in Scripture. I was speaking with the student in the college only to be amazed to see that he was serious about speaking about what he wanted to do, but he was asking me to teach him, and I flatly denied him. And I thought about giving him this book because the book would help him. And as I read the book and as I'm going through the Roman series, I thought that I would share a little bit of this about interpretation with you. When interpreters from various groups have worked together to unfold the meaning of a particular passage, agreement on many significant conclusions can be reached. Thus, hermeneutics is a potent unifying force in the Christian church. Now, what hermeneutics is, hermeneutics is the art and science of dissecting the meaning of that text. What did that text mean in the first century? Therefore, when you interpret it correctly, has the text or the meaning of the text changed in the year that we're living in? The most impelling motive for learning to interpret the scriptures correctly is the necessity, that is, to understand clearly for ourselves.
And how in the heck that is, and I'm going to keep it nice, how in the heck can somebody teach the Bible if they don't understand that themselves? I was telling the man, the unfortunate thing is that just because someone says that they have something or have the ability, and this kind of disposition has been going on in Christendom, in the African-American churches, for years. Have you ever noticed where you live? As a matter of fact, there was a funeral that I was looking at on Facebook, and it was held at a beautiful red brick church. It had to be somewhere back east or in the south. But it was stained glass windows and everything, a beautiful sanctuary and everything. But my goodness, when you see the intelligence of the pastor that's pastoring there and the people that attend there, you know the people would not be able to listen to me give a lecture the way I am here. If you come to my website, you have to go into the, excuse me, where's my water? You have to go into the archive sections and go down to the year 2013. It's interesting because here we are at the end of November in 2020, and just about that time in 2013, I did this thing on interpretation. And all these years have gone by, and I'm still arguing, battling, defending. Don't listen to people that claim that they know what the Bible means, and you ask them a simplistic question, and they can't answer it because they haven't looked at the Bible really consciously the way it was put together. And that's why I was speaking about hermeneutics and all of that. You can hear the entire lecture. It's part one and part two. You go to the archive section and listen to that. Please do that if you want to know what biblical interpretation is. I'm not going to reteach it. I've already done it. It's all on this website for you here. No, I'm not going to write a book. I saw a friend of mine, and he's telling people to buy his book. No, go to the website. You don't have to buy anything here. You can go and you can plug it in your ear and you can listen, especially if you have any benign questions about God, deities. Does God exist? What's Jesus Christ? All right. Does God exist? The answer is yes. In what form? I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea, because the Bible tells me God is a spirit, and he that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, even though I'm not pastoring, I'll never forget that verse. If anybody asks me, John, is God real? Yes. How do I know he's real? I said, because you can get in contact with him. Well, how can I get in contact with him? Through his spirit and your spirit. Well, show me that in the Bible. Yes. In the book of John, it says God is a spirit, and he that worships him, because that's the only way that you're going to get in contact with God, is to worship him. You're not going to badger him, browbeat him, beat him down, threaten him. You're not going to say, well, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. That's not the God I'm talking about. That's some God of, it's just your imagination running around in sprinkle country. But you can know this God personally. That's what this website is all about. That's what my taking this time coming on here is all about. And I want to thank that brother that called me. I know the people he's speaking of. They couldn't answer the question. A simple question. All right, I'm gonna share the question with you. He asked his spiritual leaders, why do we celebrate Christmas? And so I said, is that what you asked them? And he said, yes. And I said, and they couldn't answer that question appropriately? And he said, no. And so I said, well, ask me the question. He said, why do we, John, celebrate Christmas? And I said, well, I'm not answering for we, because I don't know why you celebrate your birthday. I don't know why you would celebrate a wedding anniversary. I don't celebrate either. I just live another day older. I'm not that kind of a person. But let's make the question a personal one. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Well, I don't celebrate it. I recognize it because of some of the points during the holiday. And very few, by the way, I'm answering the question. Very few, by the way, pertain to what I know about God and Jesus Christ. And so the celebrating of the Yuletide season with the Christmas tree lights, I have a string of lights up in my living room, and I never take them down. One of the boys put it on a little guitar, and it's a pretty little thing. And every December 1st, I plug it up, and I did it today. Because why? This is the Yuletide season. I'm not going to put a tree in the house. I don't have any money for that. I'm not going to be trying to clean up all that stuff. I'm not giving gifts to anybody. I gave gifts to my children and to my wife when she was alive and my children were here. And I celebrated the historical USA Santa Claus is coming to town Christmas because it was a fun time for family to get together. But that has nothing to do with Jesus, Christ being born, or his ministry on earth. None of that. But let me answer the question. I said, if you were to ask the question like this, why do we specifically set aside December 25th to recognize the birth of a man called Jesus Christ, to whom a great percentage of individuals on the globe worships as God? From that, I will answer your question. Now, guess what I'm going to do since the man gave me that position that he was faced with? I'm going to try to find all of my Christmas-related biblical texts, sermons, and speeches, and whatever I did. And for the entire month, I know that may be too much for some of you because you can't stand to listen to 30 minutes of it. And man, listen, when Christmas came on a Sunday and I was preaching, they tell you I preached for 90 minutes, no less than 90 minutes. I have never preached a 15-minute sermonette in my life. And the choir, I set that trashy thing down. I didn't want nobody screaming and hollering. Man, I would tell you, when I was following my mentor in the church, he had a typical Baptist church choir. I sung in it. seems like an oxymoron. I'm talking about something that I participated in, but I didn't participate like, and both of these women are dead now. I almost said, thank God. I shouldn't have said that. But these women were fussing constantly with each other about who was going to sing the song before the pastor got up to preach. I mean, if you've ever seen this in a black church, and they couldn't stand each other. They would not tell each other right up front the truth that they hated each other's guts. And it appeared that they were all trying to measure up to or to please the pastor. Well, you've heard me say enough. I don't care. And I'm just calling it like it is. When I see somebody trying to please me, I think I did a webcast a few weeks ago saying that I'm not your anchor or your buoy. I don't care what you think, where you go, what you believe, get away from me. Just get away from me. I'm going to teach you that Bible because God called me. Man, you know, I love this opportunity. Man, me writing my book this way is marvelous because I'm here to tell you that I didn't call myself as a preacher. God called me as a preacher. That's why I'm so adamantly opposed to preachers pleasing people. They're not supposed to please people. That never was our calling, to please people, to make the congregation happy, to make them feel good. Oh, I know singing is important and eating candy canes and giving gifts to people, especially the ones that are down and out. I watch Lester Holt on NBC News almost every night, and I love Lester the way he says, "Now, y'all take care of yourself." And he's the same kind of man that I grew up to be. I like that. But life's not going to always be sweet and tender in that way. Life is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. It's going to be strenuous. It's going to tax you. It's going to take you to a place that you never thought that it would take you. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I just wanted to let you hear a little bit of that. So when you get an opportunity, try to listen to sermons on how to construct a message, how to put it together. And I asked the man, how many people attend this Christian fellowship? How many people are, because when I left the pastorate, I didn't leave the pastorate over no scandalous crimes or anything like that. There was a good set of people going to that fellowship. And I said, now you have a person that I laid my hands on, and two of them, I think they know enough, they can carry you along. Now I got somebody calling me at 11 o'clock in the morning saying, talk to me. You know, the only thing I can say, go to my website and listen to, this is biblical theology. This other stuff that you hear out there, I remember when Creflo was talking his trash, when T.D. Jakes was doing his, when you guys crowned Fred Price to be a bishop, some kind of an apostolic bishop over the black church, which is anathema, and you did it. Even have him dressed up looking like a pope and had all of his underlings dressed up like clowns and things like that. That's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. All you do is study Protestantism in its truest sense, and I'm not saying become a Calvinist, and I'm not saying become a diehard Arminius, and I'm not saying become, you know, as long as my mama lived, denominationalist. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about what it says, what Paul said to Timothy. I think he put it to him this way. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. And then he told them that you may be a workman that need not be ashamed. Ashamed why? Because you don't even know why you celebrate Christmas. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Christmas is not even in the Bible. It's a pagan holiday. It will always be a pagan holiday. It has nothing to do with the divine. It has, just like the Easter Bunny has nothing to do, the Easter Rabbit has nothing to do with Easter Sunday and Easter eggs. And Christ being, listen, at Christmas time, he was born in Bethlehem. Easter time, man, that's nothing but revelry. He went to the grave and got up. Isn't that convenient? The two major Christian holidays come at a time when more money is being spent, more people are indulging in obese behavior, partying, drinking, revelry. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind having a drink now and then. I'm not a dry hole. No, I'm not. But at the same time, I'm not a sloppy drunk trying to look for an opportunity to celebrate the creator of the entire universe in a drunken. No wonder some of these other religions don't think too fairly of American Christianity. It's a shame. And it's pathetic because in most of our churches, you would find the same kind of thing. Oh, let me go back to the music box and let's listen to some music here. All right, I'm gonna play a nice number from an album. I know you know this guy, Antonio Carlos Jobim, The Girl from Ipanema. Listen to this arrangement. Enjoy. Thanks for coming to my website. Yeah. a little different from the original. Ta ta ta. Antonio Carlos Jobim. Another way to listen to it, Girl from Ipanema. Songs that stick out in my mind like lightning, you flash. I hope you were able to get up and do a little waltzing around in the place where you're staying. You know, we're under stay-at-home orders. Antonio won't stop playing, will it? We're under orders to stay home. And, you know, that kind of interests me. How are you doing? How are you doing? Is it getting to you? Do you feel like you need to be around your friends? Listen, the only thing that I got to check is that if all the doors are solidly locked, because I'm supposed to be in this house by myself and I'm in this studio by myself and it's at night and it's dark. But see, I have my help because I believe that God will take care of me. And where God is telling me to use some common sense, I have that too. And I think that, you know what, as a matter of fact, I don't even want to talk about number 45. He hasn't conceded defeat yet. I see that his Secretary of State Barr says that he can't find any evidence of a flailing system. I really feel sorry for him, for the president, because he's going through a bad time right now, a real bad time, and I wonder how many, you know, because we were taught as Christians, pray for those that despitefully use you. I wonder how you feel about that now. Could you pray for someone that didn't treat you right? Could you pray for someone that, could you? I could, especially if I had no other recourse. I believe the prayer is a powerful tool. But the thing that you have to make sure is that you are on the right side when you pray. See what I mean? You've got to be on the right side when you pray or keep your mouth shut. All right, let me get into a little controversy again. I'm always doing that. What gets me into trouble? I play music. I like music. I like things that kind of shaped my frame of reference as I grew up. Now, what I'd like you to do, if you're white, Hispanic, Asian, black, whatever, whatever the food group you are, I want you to go back. I'm going all the way back to the year 1957. I remember this because in 1957, I was 11. I was 13 years old. I was 13 years old. That picture that you see on the website right there, I was looking a little bit like this. And I went to church because my grandmother made me go to church on a regular basis. I mean, all of us kids went to church. My mommy and daddy would take us over to grandma's house on my daddy's side. And the next thing I know, we was in church. And on the radio was this song that was taken right from the bowels, and I mean that literally, of the black church. And I want you to listen to this. It's an album called Hallelujah, I Love Her So. And Ray told you while he was alive that he took these melodies from the church. Now, let me look on this album cover. Let me just swing this mic over here so I can see where that is. Yeah, Ain't That Love is a good one that he did. Here it is right here. Hallelujah, I Love Her So. Ray Charles.
She lives next door. sun comes up.
What's happening?
She made my coffee in my favorite cup.
I know it.
I know. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Hallelujah, I just love her so.
Hey. When I'm in trouble and I have no friend, I know she'll go with me until the end. Everybody asks me how I know.
Uh-huh.
I smile at them and say she told me so.
Hey.
That's why I know. Oh, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. Now if I call her on the telephone and tell her that I'm all alone, by the time I count from one to four, I hear her on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down, when there is nobody else around, she kisses me and she holds me tight and tells me, Daddy, everything's all right. I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love it so.
Now, let me pause this right here because, see, in this particular record, there's a bridge. And this is when, rhythm and blues was coming out and rock and roll was becoming popular with the white population of this country. But listen to this saxophonist, will you?
Call her on the telephone and tell her that I'm all alone. By the time I come from one to four, I hear her on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down, when there is nobody else around, she kisses me and she holds me tight and tells me that everything's all right. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know I just love her so? She's my little woman, we call her
baby. And I can see why some preachers could be upset because, oh man, he's using the name of the, he didn't use the name of the Lord. He loves his woman and she loves him. What's the matter with that? Listen. Religion is supposed to make your soul a better person, not to make you a prude. And I think that that's what, and it's. I didn't understand all of the sexual involvement, seriously, when I joined the church. I didn't know. No, never. Ooh, I like this. It's from an album titled The Great Ray Charles, right? Yeah, Ray Charles. Hallelujah. I love her so. But I'm going to play another one from this album because he has, nothing but hits here. Let me see. Ain't That Love? Oh, yeah. Man, this drowned in my own tears. The arrangement of this and the Rayettes that was, the ladies that were singing along with Ray on this, oh my goodness, please listen to this. Ray Charles back in 1957. Can you believe it?
It brings a tear into my eyes.
That church piano.
I cried so much since you've been gone. I guess I'll drown in my own tears. I sit and cry just like a child. Thank you.
remember that. I was 13 years old. My mama died a year earlier. My daddy bought the album. I remember the album cover. When my grandmother moved in the house to take care of us kids, daddy got his own apartment, started playing the Playboy thing, you know. He's free. But he would be crying. He'd be playing the album, and whenever this song came on, he would cry. I have a picture on my website here. As you scroll down, you see me standing next to my father. We were leaving the church. I just preached. And he was so proud that he was so proud of me. I didn't know why, but it was because, you know, the church made him feel bad about himself. And my preacher friend was asking me, was my father's relationship close to me? And the only thing that I can say is, well, yeah, we spoke and everything, but we weren't running buddies. I was a little bit too light, intellectual. Daddy wasn't an intellectual. Daddy knew the streets, you know? And so I'm going to play more from this album because it's bringing back memories. Woo, 1957. And I recall it's as plain as yesterday. Los Angeles was a segregated city. You didn't go downtown and talk to a white man verbatim. You didn't have a lot of white friends. We went to 75th Street School. We knew that some white kids went there. We talked to them in the school, but after they went home and we went home, that we didn't go visit them, nor did they visit us. I mean, so it doesn't make any difference where you come from. I'm going to play this number now because it's my mother's name, and that's why my daddy, I think he liked this album so much because of the name of this next song, which is called Marianne. Ray Charles at the piano, singing about Marianne. Thank you. whole, Marianne. Oh, hold on. Someone's beating on my door. I don't know whether you ever thought of it, but you heard it in that last number, Marianne. Ray Charles had a very astute band. I mean, he was one of the finest band leaders during that day. I mean, that's where I learned how to do my two-step when I used to go visit my daddy's apartment, because he had a house for us on 118th Street. And when I wanted to visit my daddy, I walked from 118th Street all the way over down to, when was it? Imperial Highway, all the way over to Avalon, down there. I would walk down there just to spend an afternoon with my daddy, looking at his cufflinks, his tie pins, and things like that, because that's really where I learned how to dress. My daddy taught me how to dress. And I like to think I'm a pretty sharp dresser when I dress up, but I ain't got nowhere to go, and since they got me all locked in the house, well, let me stop complaining. It's 48 minutes into the hour, and I want to play another number now called Mess Around. Now, this is what got Ray Charles in a lot of trouble, because when he said, let's do the mess around, everybody knew what he was talking about. But he did. It wasn't like today, because today when, you know, when they talk about doing nasty sexual things, it's kind of embarrassing to hear it. But Ray came up with this R&B kind of a thing, and when he did Mess Around, well, listen to it. I like this too. This was one of my favorite songs, Ray Charles. If you sung that when you went into the Baptist church, you're straight on your way to hell. Just as simple as that. I remember, and dancing is a natural thing to do for a young person, especially, wait a minute now, growing up in strained opportunities, meaning Now, black folk, unless you were very restrictive in your living and highly blessed by God or favored by somebody to let you through the cracks, we didn't know. We didn't always have a lot of stuff. You know, this Motown lifestyle where everybody's driving a Cadillac and living in Brentwood and living off the beach and all that kind of stuff, and you can visualize yourself seeing visions of lollipops dancing in your head. This was, no. My mother and grandmother bathed me and my brother in a washing tub on the back porch of my grandmama's house. That's right. And the floor had holes in it. I remember because I was scared when I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, and I thought I was going to fall through the holes in the dirt. And my mommy told me, boy, shut up, John Jr. That thing's going to be all right in Los Angeles. So all this talking about, you know, now I'm rich now. I'm walking around the house. And I'm in a 2-bedroom house. 1 bedroom has become my studio. The other one is where I sleep. And after I finish this webcast, I rented me a Netflix movie. I'm going to go in the living room and watch a movie and probably eat some Oreo cookies and a little lemonade and enjoy the movie in my leather chair. I'm rich compared to other people living around the world everywhere else. And you're rich, too. If you're listening to me on the internet, you have electricity. You have the power to turn me on and keep me on or kick me off. Some people don't. Now, since I know that in God's eyes I'm rich, what ought I to be towards other people? I need to share the blessings that God has given me. Now, you know what? I'm this kind of a person. I had a visitor yesterday, came by, spent a couple hours, and I said, well, I'm going to take you to the train station. You need to go home because you out there in that air and meeting people and around people, and they tell me I can kick off and die any moment. I'm not afraid of dying and not afraid of getting the virus, but I will play safe. And I hope that you people will play safe too, because there's too many people dying in these hospitals to say it's all a joke. I thank God that my health is getting better. Guess what I had for dinner? I took a potato. Oh, you don't want to hear about that, do you? Yes, you do. Got 5 minutes. This is my webcast, not yours. Took a potato, diced it up, seasoned it up real nice, basted it in some olive oil, put a little brown on it, and then I got me 4 sausages, not pork, not beef, not turkey, but vegetable-based sausage. Tastes just like sausage, too. I wasn't eating meat. I was eating healthy stuff. I'm not going to put, I put very little of animal fat in me. We have to change the way we live, change the way we eat, change the way we think. If listening to Ray Charles singing The Mess Around makes you happy, listen to it. If listening to an opera singer makes you happy, listen to your opera singing, but enjoy your life and know this, that that's the only life that God has given you to live. He only gives you one. And one of the things that the church did wrong is that when it noted a person living their life, it tried to make that person live a churchy life. That is not what God called us to do. He has never called us to do that. And maybe in another hour, I'll take that hour and share it with you. Thank you so much for coming to my website. I'm going to let Ray Charles take me out with a number called Come Back Baby. You come back and visit me sometime. I'll see you later.
Come back, baby. Oh, mama, please don't go.
Don't you know, baby? Child, you've been gone too long. Oh, come back, baby. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk it over one more time. Oh, now, now. Say if I could holler. People I call